So you wanted to do why Psak is binding. Good. So why do you think, you tell me first, why do you think Psak is binding? Is it binding? When is it binding? What do you think? What?
Because we accept it.
I know it's
something
tomorrow.
Because we accepted, no?
Okay, so here's how it goes, okay? I can print it out for you, but let's go through this. So here's how it starts. The Gemara about Dezarat of Zion says as follows. Tan Rabbanan, and Yishal HaChacham V'Timei. If you ask someone and he says something is Tamei, so Lo Yishal HaChacham V'Yitaher. You can't ask someone else for him to make it pure. L'Chacham V'Asar, if you ask a Chacham and he prohibited it, Lo Yishal HaChacham V'Yatir. You can't ask another Chacham and permit it. Hayushnayim, if there are two people, echad mitame vechad mitar, echad oser vechad matir, one says yes, one says no, one says aser, one says mutar, imay echamim gadol mechavero, if one is greater than the other, so then, umechachar minyan, holechachar, follow the greater one, imlav, holechachar hamachmir, right, if they're equal, go to machmir, Yeshua ben karchomer, no, bishal Torah, holechachar hamachmir, bishal sofrim, holechachar hamikil. What? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a related rule, yes. Now. What? No, this is Psak. Lin, on it, right? Now, the Gemara in Eruvin, the Gemara in Eruvin highlights the fact that, right, you should always either follow Beit Hillel, Kikhu Lehen, or Kuchom Rehen, right? Be consistent, right? But not the chumra of both or the kulot of both. If you follow the kulot of both, then you are a rasha. Oh, and if you follow the chumra of both, you're a fool. Good. But in this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so there does seem to be a certain stage at which, if you ask a shayla, well,
it's binding. That's it.
Well, so interesting and not totally clear, right? Meaning it's not clear whether you can't ask someone else or another post they can't weigh in. Right?
Meaning,
maybe you could ask, but the other posek isn't allowed to give an answer, knowing that someone else already paskin.
Right, so if it's,
okay?
If it's an illegal...
Correct, right? Now, in Mesechah Nidah, Daf Chav, you have a case where, not where you asked a posek, another posek, right, can't weigh in, but where there's a Gemara da'atra, the Gemara tells a story that Ula... Ikla lepumpadita, aitin lekame dam of alochaza. So Ula came to Pumbadita, and while he was there, right, someone brought blood or potential blood to him. Right, need the blood to weigh in on whether it's asur or mutter, and he wouldn't look at it. And Amar, he says, Umar Rabbi Lazar damar da ara di Yisrael ave kimikla da atra de Rabbi Yehuda lochazi dam ana achze. Right, when Rabbi Lazar, who's the mara of Eretz Yisrael, when he's in Rabbi Yehuda's place, he won't weigh in. So of course, I'm not going to weigh in. Okay, which is a related halacha, that not just can you not ask, but if someone is the presumptive posek, right, you don't weigh in. Now, both of these point in some direction at a limitation, that once you've asked a shayla, you can't just chofshi go and ask somebody else, right? The question is why, right? To what extent is Psak binding? Why would it be binding? So, you tell me, what do you think?
Why should it be binding?
Yeah, well, why is there any limitation? I understand. Ask as many people as you want. Take whatever answer you want. Who cares?
We got to have a set framework of halacha. You can't just pick and choose what you want.
Why?
Because.
Why not?
Because it's a law.
You can't
pick and choose your.
Why not?
Law.
No.
That's not how law works.
About the law, it's not really a set.
Yeah, but why can't I ask somebody else?
First of all, it's
so you're just saying, look, stability. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Good.
Disrespectful to the person who passed in.
Okay. So David says it's an issue of respect. And that's what Rashi says. Lo chaza, mishum kvod or the Yehuda. It's not kavod, right? It's not kavod. Okay. Now, he says that in the context of the Mara D'Atra. The Ran says it in general by Psak, right? That it's an issue of kavod. Now, if you think it's just an issue of kavod, so then what limitation would there be on this rule? Yeah, right. If the first posting says I don't care, right? So if you come, okay. David is asking Shaila. Ezra is now the posting. So David asks Ezra. Ezra says usher, and David says, okay, but do you mind if I ask another posting? And Ezra says, I don't care. Do whatever you want, right? Do whatever you want, right? So, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I think it's usur, but whatever, you want to ask someone else, go ahead. So then, if it's just about kava, what would the halacha be? It's fine. Right, that's what the Ron says. He says, you can't, when he's, what does he think the words mean, ein chaver rashai lahatir, that the other posse can't weigh in? What does that mean? Bilo haskamato shall rishon, without the first one agreeing. Mipnei kvoda, kavodo shall rishon, because it's not kavod. Ve'od, he has another problem, which is its optics. Shlo tira, tira, kishtei toro. It will make the Torah look like shtei toro, which is more like what Ellie said, which is, look, it's like, right, it just looks wrong. Meaning, the fact that Ezra Paskins said something is aser, and Zucker Paskins it's mutter, okay. The fact that you have different psakim is one thing. But if David is going around rabbi shopping, right, and he's getting aser from one, and mutter from one, and mutter lechatchila, and mutter b'diavad, and whatever, right?
Mutter on everything.
Yeah, that's not how this works. Oh, God, stop.
If you,
God.
This, if you have this in place, though, you allow most people to become nothing more than, like, notaries.
What?
Like, just do whatever you want there.
Right, so that, right, just mean, might mean, right, so you could say, Ishtar looks wrong, or you could say, yeah, there's no stability, right, there's no stability whatsoever. Now, if that's the case, right, so if it's about Shtei Torah, then presumably it would be a problem even if what? Even if he gives permission. But, according to both of these possibilities, what if the, who was the second poseg, Zucker? What if Zucker convinces Ezra to change his position? Then for sure it's fine, right? Right, that would not be a problem. Or, what if the second posseg is greater than Ezra? No, not there's any such posseg. But Bonagid, David asked Ezra. Ezra says, Asur, and then it happens to be it's Thursday night. So David says, you know what? I'm skipping Night Seder so I can go hear of Asher Weiss this year, right? I'm rebellious. And he goes and he's already there. So he asks, very rebellious. And he goes and he asks Asher Weiss. And Asher Weiss says, it's winter. So Ezra probably would say, I hope what he would say, you know, Rav Asher says in Mutar, maybe I'll rethink my position, you know, right? It's not a lack of kavod, right? B'mechilas kvodo. Shel Ezra, you know, if it's just about kavod, so it's one thing if you ask someone who's like more or less on your level. It's another thing, you added Rav Asher Weiss, everyone's like, okay, right? Rav Asher Weiss says something different. B'seder gamur. Yeah.
So according to both of these interpretations, if you ask a rabbi, which rabbi would be the best one for me to ask if I'm looking for, like, a mater in this? Are you allowed to do that, according to both of them?
Possibly.
Interesting.
Well, okay, you want a messy shayla, right? Or not a messy. A very interesting shayla that actually happened this way. Mm-hmm. So there was, I forget who it was, who said that they were, when they were in Gush, so they wanted to figure out what to do in Yom Tov Sheni. I'm going to have told you, some of you, this. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to know Yom Tov Sheni. In Israel, do I keep second day Yontif? Right? Now, what was the problem? He already knew in advance that Rav Amital said, you keep one day, you don't keep the second day. And the Lechon Sin was going to tell him to keep the day and a half. Right? So what's the problem? He said, listen, Rav Amital and Rav Lechon Sin are both my Rebbeim. But I can't ask them because I already know.
What they're going to say.
Right? So what am I going to do? Right? I'm just going to ask the one whose answer I want. Right? What am I going to do? So what did Lechon Sin? So what did he do? He went to Lechon Sin. He said, here's the situation. How do I figure out how to ask? And you know what Rav Chanan said? This is Moshe Rav Chanan. No. He said, what did we just read in the Gemara? That b'derabanan holech achar mekil. And since Yom Tov Sheni is derabanan, and you are equally bound to my psak and Rav Mital's, go to Rav Mital, because he'll give you the more makeup position. And derabanan. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
I was like that.
No,
Rav Chanan. And Rav Mital said one day. Sir Rav Chanan said, well, it's a derabanan. So apparently he said, so you're bound by Rav Mital because it's their abundance. It's Mikael. I was like,
I think it couldn't be like that. Because if you are to have post-game at all be a real because if you allow people to just go back and forth, then why aren't they just doing whatever they want? What's the value?
Well, now.
Okay, good. So Ezra says, I don't understand. It's just kavod. No, it has to be more than that. It has to be more because a psak is meaningless unless it's binding, right? This doesn't sound like it's binding. It's like, I can't ask someone. But if I did, right, another nafkamina is, what if I did? I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. Memechilas kvot Ezra. I asked Zucker, right? But now I already asked Zucker. And now the reality is there's two psakim on the table, right? From my two great rebbeim over here, right? So now I violated the kavod of Ezra. I have to ask Mechila before Yom Kippur. But now, Lemaisa, I have two answers on the table. right? So post facto, I can do whatever I want, right? If that's how you understand it, there's like no stability whatsoever. If you say it's kishtei Torah, okay, maybe that's why I shouldn't ask. But again, if I already asked, Now the reality on the ground is there's new two psakim that I got in the same shaila. I mean, the optic hasn't changed, right? So post facto, what am I supposed to do, right? Good. So what else might you say?
But we say elav elav devel kamas. So
chayim, first of all. Right. So
what if you ask?
Why can't it be that like, whenever you get a sock, it's now in the halakhic system, and you can't go get something else created into the current bubble.
See, Josh is super lumdish, but Josh doesn't realize that Baruch Hashem the Ritva was as super lumdish as he was. Okay. So here's how it goes. Okay. So I'm going to skip then to the Ritva. So the Ritva has the following super radical theory. And the Ritva says, oh, the Gemara says, Eilav Eilav Divrei Elokim Chayim. Now, what does Eilav Eilav Divrei Elokim Chayim mean? So some people think that what? So I'm actually going to connect two Ritvas, okay? He doesn't say it explicitly, right? But I'll read you the Ritva, then I'll read you the second Ritva, and then you figure out what the Ritva means. So the Ritva says as follows. So first of all, he says, don't say it's only because of kavod. El afilu b'diavad, even post facto, you can't follow the second psak. D'cheivan d'kama chacham, since the first person you asked is a chacham, ha chacham Ezra, v'ra'ui lehora'a, kishehora alav la'asor o lituma, when he ruled that it is asor tameh, shavye chaticha d'isura, he made it a piece of isur. Now, what does Shavye Chaticha D'Isura mean? Do you know that phrase?
Shavye Anafshe
Chaticha D'Isura. Oh, okay. So you say Shavye Anafshe. What's Shavye Anafshe Chaticha D'Isura? Very good. Is that what the Ritva said?
No. Oh,
so this is, I remember asking this once, Rabbi Willig. And I'll tell you the case in just a second. And he says, be careful. The Ritva doesn't say Shavye Anafshe Chaticha D'Isura. What does he say? Good. Now, does he mean Shavye Anafshe? So probably not, as we'll see in just a second. Happens to be that the Ravid did say Shavya Anafshe. He said, why is it psak binding? Neder, essentially. That when I asked the Shiloh, what I was really doing was entering into a Neder relationship with Ezra, right? So the Ravid, Meiri quotes the Ravid is saying, Lefiha Ravid, im chazar rishon, he's super machmir. So much of it is a Neder that what? Let's say Ezra changes his mind. I asked Ezra, Ezra said, oh, sir. And I said, okay. And then Ezra changes his mind, mutzer. You know what the Ravid says? Right? Tzarech lahachmir, you have to be machmir.
Hey, what about shikul
hadas?
Very good. It's much more easy, right? Now, you could tweak the Ravid and say, no, it's a neder, but not to what he said, but to what he holds, right? Mukha Yosef just says, Kevin shishalmenu tchila gamar bilo lasot kechol asher yoreoto. Then Sai asked you first, I committed to do whatever you said, which is a little bit weaker than the Ravid.
What about shikul hadas?
Yeah.
Can you even make a mistake the first time you said the
song? Good, good, good. So, everyone, I'm skipping that, but everyone here says, okay, but what is the case? So clearly, it's not a case where it's a mistake. It's a case where we're in the situation of shikul hadat, where there is not a set answer that's right or wrong, right? You're right. If it's a mistake, if it's a mistake, it's not a psak, right? Yes, right? That should be clear, that we're dealing in a case where it's, without getting to all the rules of what is the case, but it's not a case where his psak was wrong. But is that what the Ritva means? So it doesn't sound that way. And Ravid was very mocked because I once asked him a shayla. I said, okay. I'd ask Anida shayla or already asked Anida shayla to a yuetzet halacha. Okay. The shayla didn't, the answer to me sounded, I was like, could be, but like, I know this again. I'm like, I'm not sure that you have to be machmir. Okay. I asked Ravid Willig, right? And Ravid Willig said, mutter, right? Then I asked Ravid Willig, okay, but am I allowed to be mekel like you? Right? So he said, well, it depends, right? Most yoatzot, if you ask them what they're doing, right, why are they called yoatzot? Exactly, because Rabbi Henkin wanted it to be that, at least for most of them, right, they're not giving psak, right? They're giving, right, yeyuts, right? We talked about most shilas are not really shilas, right? It's just that most people don't know the halacha. They're more comfortable talking to an educated woman. Most halacha that you get, most shilas you're getting are not psak anyways, right? They're maramako. So he said, even if you asked it as a psak. So he said, if it was midineder, then what would matter? Whether you were thinking about it as psak. But if it's not midineder, but it's midin shavye chatichat yisur, that the act of psak has some metaphysical power to turn it into something else, then what matters? The mindset of the person making the decision. If they are imagining it as mara makom, right, and not as psak, then it's not binding. Right? It's not binding. Now, it happened to be in this case that once this Yoetz had heard that Rabbi Willig was Mekel, I was like, okay, then in my list of things, now I know Rabbi Willig is Mekel.
What if someone thought they were giving Psak on like a Machloka that's clearly
a Gemara? So that's just a toad. That's just a mistake. This is not a mistake. Right. This was just whatever. Okay. But the Ritva goes farther, and therefore he says, Perish Einu Rishai. He's not allowed to. Vim Asa. And if Zucker tries to Paskin, Lo Asa Klum. It's meaningless halachically. Right? Again, miudafka b'shikla shikladat. As we keep saying, that's only if it's a mistaken shikladat. Right? Avon ta b'dvar mishnah, but if it's a mistake b'dvar mishnah, ain't a rata ara. That's not a psak at all. The psak is undone meikara. Good? Why? Why would, what does this mean? The Ritva says, I have the metaphysical power. Ezra has the metaphysical power to transform this into Isser. That sounds very magical. Right? So Rishol Yisraeli says, what do you mean? It makes a lot of sense. Why? Because there's a Gemara, Elu ve'elu devre Elokim Chayim. Now, what does the Gemara say? They both are Elokim Chayim, devre Elokim Chayim. Good, what does that mean? So many Rishonim think it means they're both valuable. Not they're both true, they're both valuable. Right?
No.
But what does the Ritva believe?
The word of God.
So the Ritva is a very radical statement, quoting the Rabbeinu Tzarfat, the Balei Tosfot. No, he says, "Heyach Efsher." This is in Erevin Yud Gimel on the Elu VeElu Sugya. The Ritva there says, "Heyach Efsher." What does it mean? They're both the Word of God, right? Either the words of the living God or the living words of God. How could both be true? When Zeosev is a matir. So what do they say? What's the famous radical position of the Balei Tosfot? V'tirtzu. When Moshe went up to Shamayim to get the Torah, the Kabbalah Torah, Heru'ulo al kol davar, memtet pavanim les lisur, memtet pavanim ladir. They showed him, God showed Moshe 49 possibilities in each direction. Vishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe said, God, what are you doing? V'amar, what did he say? Sheyeheze masur l'chachmei Yisrael shebechol dor vador v'yachrak motam, that the psak, the power of psak, should be given over to the chachmei each generation. V'nachon hu l'fi adrash v'derech ha'emet yesh tam v'sod b'davar. It's true, and al pisod, there is a secret hidden here. Right? So Rav Yisraeli says, wait a second. The Ritva thinks that what is the right halachic answer on a given question? There is none. There is none. There's 49 ways lit Isser and Heter that in Shamayim, is it Asur or Mutter? The answer is?
Yes.
It's the, right? It is fundamentally indeterminate, right? What makes it determined?
The post.
Oh, very good. He says, if you, because what does the Ritva say? It's metaphysically indeterminate until the Chachamim decide. So therefore, he says, you know what Psak is? When I ask Ezra, I have now given him the power to define my metaphysical reality. He has made it usher. He's made it mutter.
Good job, Klein.
Very good. Now,
Can I give a radically different approach?
Now I want to tell you something even more radical.
Oh,
I want to give you something more radical. Because classically in the Achronim, the biggest nafkamina the Achronim have to this is, does this only work likula? Sorry, lechumra, or even likula, right? So, what do all the achronim say? If it's midin kavod, then it's bein likula, bein lechumra. No, meaning you should never be asking. He gave an answer. What are you consulting with someone else, right? It's not bechavod. I mean, if he does say it, maybe you have to be machmir, right? But the limitation, right? But the limitation of asking might apply. Maybe after you ask, right? Bidyavad, you'd have to be machmir. Right? But fundamentally, the idea of kavod applies bein l'kula bein l'chumra. But if it's about shavya nafshe or shavya chaticha di surah, what do they say? Oh, There's no such thing as a metaphysical status leheter. So if I ask Ezra and he says usser, I can't ask somebody else. But if he says mutter, I could go chumrah shopping.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Oh, very good.
I'm not inclined to like the ritva here, but everyone else's position is kind of bad.
So, wait, watch. So that's what many of the Acharonim say. However, Rav Henkin, in his Truva, points out, did you actually read the ritva?
You can ask either way.
Well, no. He says, look, the ritva is even more radical than you thought if you actually read it. Because what does the ritva say? Elavadai kedamran. Dechol hecha devishkulin. Whenever the poskim are equivalent, v'nechleku ka'achat, and they argue, what happens? Lo chal isur ba'ota chaticha. The isur isn't chal, right? The isur is not chal. V'rashaya mekel orot lacherim chula ba'ota chaticha. Right? There is, right? There, according to the Ritva, there seems to be a chalois heter, right? It does seem to be the Ritva actually believes. No, like if Ezra says it's mutter, he has now defined the metaphysical reality that it is mutter, right? And therefore, it is now impervious somehow to becoming yetzer. I don't know what that means, right? But it is cool. What? Cool. It is cool.
See, but cool. Seems like, you should bind yourself to a certain decision rather than the view of the person who gave the decision. The decision is only given value because of the person, right?
What?
To say that. The person can give this thing a permanent status.
Whoa. So permanent status, so now let's qualify. What does it mean permanent status? Meaning this piece, yes, but...
Meaning it wouldn't change even if the POSEC changes mind.
No, that's radical. I don't think anyone... Yeah. I doubt it. The Ritva says that. Fine.
What's more radical about this interpretation than the Ritva?
Right.
What's more radical about this one?
Right. However, but what does this apply to? By the Ritva, what does he say over and over in his piece? What does this conception of Psak apply to? That Shaila. But what happened to the same Shaila comes up tomorrow?
You can create a different metaphysical.
No way. No way.
Yes, so because Ezra only imposed his will on this piece. Because that's what I asked. Now, what if I would ask forever? What if I would ask him Psak forever? Then what? Meaning, I would say, what do I do in this situation? Right? So then, maybe I'd be bound. But if I didn't ask, right? So, very simple case, right? Let's, don't get too fancy, right? It's Shabbos, and the only posing around is Ezra. Right? So I ask Ezra, right? But I don't intend for this to be a Psak forever. I'm not asking him a theoretical, I'm not asking him to set policy for my life. I'm asking him right now, I need a Psak. And he says, Usser. Okay, Usser. And tomorrow, I'll go home and I'll ask whoever, you know, my local posek. Right? So on that piece that I gave him...
In that situation, then my psak has no more value than yours in your eyes.
On this thing. Right? On this thing.
That's not actually
right? Right? On this particular...
Which would be the same exact situation next week, but, like... You'd be asking your normal posek
in that case,
good. Now, if you don't believe me, so you're telling me that's crazy. It can't be that psak is that limited. Okay, so I'm going to read you a very radical source, also known as Shulchan Aruch. Right, very, very radical there. Shulchan Aruch says, "V'chol ze ba'ota hora'a atzma, aval ma'ase acher pshita she'chol lahorot ma'ashinir I love." Only that shaila. But in something else, you can do whatever you want. Meaning, that's it. Yeah. When is Psak binding? Correct. Now, I wanted to tell you something very radical. According to all three models. Good. I'm asking you to Paskin on this Shaila. That's Psak.
That would be Psak, though.
That's Psak.
In the situation which you intend to ask someone else after.
No, no, not on this Shaila. Meaning, I ask you for today, but the same Shaila that comes up tomorrow, I'll ask someone else. Even though it's the same Shaila, it's not the same object. It's not the same object. Right? I asked you about a particular piece of meat, right? What's its status? You say usur. The same type of challah comes up tomorrow, but it's a different piece of meat. So what's the halacha?
It's a different situation.
Even if it's the identical situation, but it's not this situation. It's not actually this food. It's not what you weighed in on. It's an identical case.
It's not like a carrot versus a cucumber, you mean?
No, it's just not the cucumber that you ruled on.
The same exact thing.
I know, but I just read up. I understand, but didn't I just read? I read a very radical source there. The Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch, he says that it's that psak. Right? Now, why does that make sense? Because, again, according to all these models, do any of these say that I can't ask someone in the future? No. But I want to point out something that's crazy here. What makes psak binding, according to all three shitot? What gives the posek the power to say something that in any way binds me?
The fact that you've asked him?
Thank you. The fact that I asked him. Right? The answer to every single one of the shittah is what makes psak binding? The answer is that you asked. That is why it's binding. You asked. You put it into his answer. Good. So you tell me. If I say, what's your opinion? What's the halacha? What's halacha?
Not
binding. Very good. Not binding.
It's what should I do?
Give me a psalm that I can tell other people.
Okay.
Does it bind other people?
Nope.
Because they didn't ask?
Correct.
What if they ask me, what does this rabbi say about
fine, shlichus.
Yeah?
That maybe, who cares if it's direct? If I say, Kobe, do me a favor, ask Harav HaGoyin, HaChacham Ezra, what he holds.
Years past.
Very good. So I actually got a shiloh like this once, right? Guys, what do you think about this, Shiloh? Someone asked me when I got married, right? I was living in Community X, and I asked the rabbi, right? But now I don't live in Community X. Actually, the rabbi asked me the shiloh, right? The rabbi in the new community. But now I live in a new community, right? Now, I didn't ask in a limited sense, right? I didn't ask, what is the halacha on this right piece of food? I asked the shiloh, right? And the entire time I lived in that community...
Results in the same situation, right? Where I can just go
chumrah
shopping.
Right. So I said, but I asked this shiloh then. I lived there for a few years and I followed that psak, right? But now I don't live in that community, right? Now I live in this community, right? Can I ask the new rabbi? What do you think?
Yeah.
So I thought yes, right? Why yes? So I said, look. I said, right. So I said, look. If it's mishum kvodo shel rishon, right? I don't think it's a problem. Why is it not a problem?
Because you're not in this community.
Right, meaning the assumption, as we already saw, that there's right two cases of kavod here. Right, one is where I ask the shayla, and the second is where I'm in a place where someone is the default posek. Right? I think mishum kavod, if I've left that community, I'm now in a new
that's
community. Right? Right, I don't think that's a lack of kavod, meaning I didn't, right? It's not that I'm asking to show lack of kavod. It's I asked him because he was the local rabbi, and I asked the shaylas to my shul rabbi, but now I'm not in that community anymore. I didn't leave because of the rabbi. I bought a house. I made aliyah, whatever, right? Now, what about...
Actual contract with when you ask the posek, the first guy, right, in your original town, for sock, you're not asking, you have in mind, right, basically, that when if you move, you will ask for different sock.
Right. So I said second possibility, if it's about your commitment, I think everyone sort of understands that your commitment is like, look, if the way you approach psak is you ask your local Orthodox rabbi, so...
Is that how the Gemara presents?
No, I'm saying if you follow the Ravid, right, that is, I accepted it. I think there's a presumption that, you know, if my approach to psak is I always ask the local Orthodox rabbi, I'm not rabbi shopping. I literally moved. Like, I followed this guy's psak for several years because I lived there, and then I moved, right?
But it's interesting. Like, you're only tying...
Right, and I said, and then in terms of the Ritva,
you don't care about the guy in that situation, right?
Correct.
The rabbi in that situation is just like
No. You care about the guy in the sense that he runs the
community. Right, I care when I'm in his community. Very good.
Over the community,
it's not because you respect him as the leader, but you recognize that he is leader of the community.
Correct.
As a halacha dispenser.
Correct.
Right? But that's a very strange way.
But that is what we saw in the case of right the Maradatra, right? And then I said, and even in the Ritvas. And then I said, even the Ritva's model. So the Ritva's model, you could say, well, I asked the Shaila.
Or you
right? No, so wait, one second. So I said, in the Ritva's model, you'd say, well, maybe not, right? Maybe if I framed the question in a way that was expansive, so maybe it changed my halakhic reality. I said, still, near Ali, that's not the case. Because, again, if you're the type of person where, like, that's just the way you do things, you ask the rabbi, I think it's implicit, right, that I'm asking... As long as I live in this community where I recognize your authority, I didn't right? Like, maybe I didn't spell it out, but as we saw, the only thing that binds you, you're only bound to what was actually asked, right? Now, if there's a presumption, now I said, if you want to be Yotze, kol hadeos, right? Kol hadeos. I said, okay. Even you could push back. You could say, oh, maybe it is a lack of kavod, because I asked a rabbi. Or maybe, well, I didn't explicitly say it wasn't for a rabbi. I said, but look, if you call the rabbi, you said, right, this is what the rabbi actually asked me. I said, you call the rabbi and you say, listen, you had someone live in your community for a few years. Now they've moved to my community, right? Right? They're not rabbi shopping now, whatever. They live in my community and now they want me as their shul rabbi to be their posek, right? Do A, do you mind? Or B, did you ever intend that your psak should be binding l'dorei dorot?
I don't think that. I think you have right. to choose whether or not the,
I think,
is more, the rabbi's agency is more important or the person's agency.
No, so I said, I said in this case, I don't think in either side, whether you're focusing on the kavod of the chacham or on what did the person intend, right? I think definitely if you ask them, because if you talk to the balabas said, obviously the reason I asked my community rabbi, like, I didn't explicitly in my mind think I only am following this back to like that community, but that's just the type of person I am, that I follow my local Orthodox rabbi, like, so I am, right? I said, in that case, I think it's obvious that definitely if you email, you want to be Yotze Kol HaDeos, email the rabbi and say, right?
I think that's fine. I lean more towards the Chomer positions for this because I want to just avoid a situation that would open rabbi. Like, I just don't want to get this loose.
Oh.
But it's fine.
Say it again?
This is a valid position, right, in terms of if you are just intellectually honest about it, right, and you're just asking. If you view the contract you kind of form between yourself and the posek you're asking as kind of editable in like a certain way, but still binding as it was formed, then fine. I just, yeah, the reason I just tend to think about more like chumrah kind of things in which.
Okay, so maybe qualify this. So if you look at the Pitchei Tshuva, the Pitchei Tshuva qualifies this a little bit. And he says, but Maisa Acher, what does it mean, a different story? Different case. We said, listen. He thinks, based on the Shivat Zion, that dafka im nishal chacham asheni alav az rashai levsok mashin rei alav b'maisa acher. Okay, nuv den marik sham. Avo yod kofetz mei lav lahatir masha azar chacham acher lo shamanim. He said, listen, when you say that on a different story, you can ask someone else. That means, like, it comes to you, right? He says, everyone agrees that it's bad public policy or bad halachic policy to say that, like, oh, I heard that yesterday Ezra said that this was Asur. And the other rabbi's like waiting in the wings, like, oh, same shayla that comes up. Oh, I heard they used to go to this crazy machmir, but you should know. It's mutter. That everyone agrees is not right. But that's not what we're talking about. I mean, that's really bad halachic policy. We're talking about where a different case came up. And he asked, right? Meaning, look, in the end of the day, it might be, right? Let's think about it very balabatishly. There's certain things that you might think are the same shayla. But they're not, right? You don't even realize, right? Why is the person asking the shayla again, right? Because they're not 100% sure that it's the same shayla. It might be, in the end of the day, that it's mamish the same shayla, right? But they don't, not everyone knows that, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking, right? Or people legitimately ask the rabbi everything, right? Certain people just ask, right? It doesn't matter how many times the rabbi said it. They need, right? Certain people, they just need that comfort. Rabbi, right?
Is this a blood spot in my egg?
Or whatever, right? Is this, yeah, I mean, right, people sometimes ask the most ridiculous questions, but yes, right? If that's the case, it's not like illegitimate. It's not like, right, you're thinking very formal, right? You're thinking like, oh, it's the shame shayla, and there is a...
I just don't want the contract to be, I want boundaries for where the contract can be editable. Because make it so that you can just, this sock is only binding for this specific case that I'm doing today. If you can do that, then you can essentially just go rabbi shopping.
Ah.
If you know what the person is going to say beforehand, you can essentially just do rabbi shopping and have it be okay.
Right. Now, right. So this could be misused. But like I said, I was just giving you an example, right, where, but I should qualify. What I said before was not, it's the Ramah, actually. It's the Ramah on that Sivan Shulchan Aruch. But anyways, yes, but on the other hand, it doesn't necessarily allow rabbi shopping because, again, it depends what the case is. Right, if the case is, I'm asking you and I'm willing to be bound for this tomorrow, but I'm going to ask someone else to, right, you know, the next time it comes up because I want a rabbi shop, you're right. But again, what if it's the case where I'm visiting a community for Shabbos and Ezra is the rabbi? So I asked Ezra why. I'm very firm. I always ask my shul rabbi, but I'm away for Shabbos, and I don't call on Shabbos, right? So I ask him. So there you would say, oh, you're rabbi shopping?
Well, then you're not asking for Pesach. I just say you're not asking for Pesach.
But you're asking for Pesach. I'm asking Shiloh right now. I want to know what to do. That's Pesach.
Would that be Pesach or just for...
No, I want to know. You are the person to ask, so I'm asking you. Decisions in your hands. That's Pesach. But it's not like a lack of kavod that I'm... Or
sure.
It's very clear that you're asking on this Shiloh. Now, let me read you. Hold one thought. However, you're not the only person who had this problem, right? So I want to read you an Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says... Vitzarach v'dvar of tzeich beir. He quotes the Ramah and he says, why, right? I don't understand. Okay? So he says as follows. V'anir l'fiyanid daiti, d'hachi perusho, d'hinei atam shena sheni yachol atir. What's the reason that you can't paskin? So he says, possibility one is kavod. But he said, the majority of Yisharim don't say that. It's lochal chaticha d'yisura. He says, "Mimela imzem chacham tabidvar mishnah b'shikol adat." So he says, first of all, if he made a mistake, so then obviously what?
It's not a
psak, right? Right, and that's why, in general, right? It's only where there wasn't a mistake, right? Because again, if it's about creating a psak, well, that. A psak isn't created if you made a mistake, right? That's just a mistake. I'm skipping down here. Right, Lufiza Dvarim Divar Rabbeinu Arama Kimin Chomer. Vachem Rechacham Chazim Rishayla Atir Mishikul Adat. Klom Rishikul Adat is Rabba Alma. Filo Chaval Rata Shavit Echad Yigusur Avim Yesh Lo Kabbalah. But he says, therefore, right, there's all these different types of mistakes that would, right, uproot it, and it would be fine, right, because the psak didn't, but now he says something very radical, right, and this goes to what Ezra keeps saying, but wait a second, maybe it's just not really psak. Maybe what was really going on here is nothing is psak anymore, right? So, we had talked about that, right? That the existence of books changes a lot of things. It might change Marad Atzra, it might change whatever. One of the things that the Aruch HaShulchan thinks it changes is this. The Aruch HaShulchan says something shocking, and he says, Vidda. Actually, let me read you two things. He quotes some people who are machmer even b'maseh acher, even when this same case comes up again. And what does he say? No, v'tamahani, because as much as you have Ezra Svara, well, aren't you creating a breakdown in law? He says, that's great, but Chazal didn't. So, eich b'chaltenu, lasot siyagim, me'atzmenu, g'darot siyagim, laharot, l'acherim, right? You can't come up with these fences. I mean, it's very nice. But then he comes up with his much more radical thesis. And he says, v'da, shlo nimzezed, dinzed, d'chacham sh'asar, ein chaver yachal adzir, lo b'ramam, lo b'tor. Wait a second, the Rambam doesn't quote the Salacha, and neither does the Torah ever. How? Hare Gemara Mifureshahi. It is a Gemara. So how could it be? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so he says, Anir Lefiyanait, Niyadait Yisrael Rabbeinu Eila Da'achshav Achash Nitpashtu Sifrei Ashas V'Aposkim. He says, aha, this is another, right, victim of books. Well, now there are books. Lo shaya klal din zeh. He says this halacha just doesn't apply at all. Why? Shari kvar nidbar din zeh eino elachshenechuk b'svara baum. He said why? Because we already said it's only when they're arguing about svara. But if it's a straight up mistake, we said then it's not binding. Why? Because a straight up mistake is not a psak, right? With all the parameters of what counts and what's a mistake, etc. But he says if that's the case, va'achshav ein lechadvar hara she'ein lo raya me'iza gimara o iza posek v'ra, right? But nowadays there is nothing you can't find in a book somewhere, kimat, maybe here and there, but basically nothing you can't find in a book. And if that's the case, v'rachog bichlal harot b'svara ba'alma, no one paskins based on svara alone, v'im yishom shagama poskim mechulakim, and maybe you'll take the poskim argue.
Well, what you mean by safek is there's a machlokes.
So then we have rules, and that is Daraisa go machmir daram go meitu. Rabbeinu Rama av dvarim elav hosav is the davka cholkim shavin v'lo katan neged gadol, etc. And he has all types of extra rules. Right, so he suggests. Now again, the Rama doesn't agree because the Rama does quote this psak, right? But he suggests that maybe the reason not everyone quotes this psak is because maybe this is a pre-book psak, and once there are books, right, every decision you make is somehow less of a psak, right, and therefore less binding.
Well, they're never making.
Correct. They're never really making things up, except with maybe. I mean, maybe you have to say like new shilas.
But they're like new shilas.
Right. Correct. Maybe. Right. Okay. I see we're out of time, but big adol, right? But big adol, what I want you to take out of this is we've seen a few models, but for me, the biggest thing coming out of the sugya, even though there's a lot more of the sugya, right, is, right, all these limitations of what paskening, right, binds you to, like this particular shaila, what that highlights is what I think people forget, right, is that people tend to think, oh, I have to ask a posek. That shows me that halacha doesn't have value for autonomy. It's all about heteronomy. Right, and people get bothered. Like theonomy, fine, but heteronomy, gewalt. Right, if you we're good on terms here. Right, autonomy is right, autonomos. I make my own law. Right, theonomy is God makes the laws, and heteronomy is other people make the laws. So I think many religious people will say, "Listen, I like autonomy, maybe. Right, theonomy, I'm okay with. Like God can tell me what to do, but heteronomy."
People are usually averse to that.
Right, but what's interesting about this sugya is. You, on the one hand, you'd say, oh, psak is binding. Look how much role there is for heteronomy. Yes and no. Because what everyone seems to agree to is that barring cases where you have like a given Rebbe where like you ask all the shilas and therefore you've already entered into that relationship, right? And even there, you've chosen to enter into that relationship. But barring the case where you have a Rebbe Mufak and that you follow him for your whole life, we're just talking about shilas. Yes, it's true that somehow or another, a psak binds you. But it only binds you because you asked. And it only binds to the extent that you asked. So if I only asked about this Shaila, even if a similar case comes up tomorrow, I'm not bound. Oh, where is the heteronomy? What the poisek told me. Yeah, but you didn't ask about that. So therefore, he has no right to weigh in your life tomorrow. Right? Obviously, at some level, there's a role that other people are telling you what to do. But you're entering into that relationship. Right? You're making the decision of who to ask, when to ask. Right, that completely changes the way you think about psak when you realize that as powerful as it is, and even if it's the Ritva / Josh, I transform metaphysical reality. Still, how did you get the power to do that? Only because I gave it to you.
So if you yourself, like Rabbi, if you're posking for yourself, then can you go back on what you originally thought?
Probably.
Seriously?
There was a question.
Right, if you're posking for yourself, can you change your mind? Presumably.
Yeah. It would have to be different.
Not necessarily, because if the posing changes mind, if the posing changes mind,
you just aren't smart enough to pass for yourself.
Yeah, okay, but if the posing changes mind, so you would follow that. So if I change my mind and I'm the posing, so that's fine also. What do you mean? What is he? According to who? According to Ritva, he's the person who transforms your metaphysical reality.
Okay, another option for what the role of the posing is. The and what halacha is. So halacha is this way that you should. Direct your life, but it needs to be surrounded by this. It's a way to guide your life, but if you went posek shopping, that would be a disservice to the entire purpose of a posek.
Yes, and you'd be a Russia and we hate you.
Right. Right, but not only is...
Right, no, so I agree. And what Ezra's pointing out is that, yeah, this, if misused, could turn into rabbi shopping, because I would say, listen, I'm willing to ask for today, but not for tomorrow, not for the day after that, in a chanami, right? It could turn into that, but first of all, most people are not.
I'm not concerned about rabbi shopping. What I'm concerned about rabbi shopping is that, like, it kind of devalues the role of posek, which seems to be something that is, like, a thing in the Gemara. Right, horah.
So, again, right, so like I said, what we didn't get to talk about today is... What about cases where there's a presumption of who you should ask, right? Meaning you have a Rebbe Mufak, right? Meaning the presumption you're
asking
is right.
If you don't, right? If people can like there are like requirements. People can give hora, right?
But just because I can give hora, does that give me a right to impose on your life, right? You didn't ask me, but why should it? Like there are many poskim, so why do I get to make the decision for you? I don't know you. I mean, I do know you, but I don't know you, right? So what? Oh, so if you asked, fine. Right, but right? Yes, Ra is a thing, but it's not like, right? So this is one of those problems to the idea of like the God Lador, right? Where people say, oh, how could you go against Rabbi Yashiv? The answer is, what do you mean? I didn't ask Rabbi Yashiv. But the fact that he issued a psak doesn't bind me, right? Right? Now, he's a big Talmud Chacham, and I may have to take it seriously, or my posting may have to take it seriously, right? Because he said something, we shouldn't just ignore him. But the idea that, like, magically someone paskined out there, and now I'm bound? No! Right? What gives him the right to make the decision is I entered into that relationship.
So that is the process
which binds me.
That does bind.
To the extent that whatever you think binding is here. But yes. Right? All the Gemara says you can't ask, that someone else can answer.
That's so annoying.
Right? It doesn't explain why.
When you ask a post-take...